it, you can before. Okay? Ready? Good things come to those who... That's right. Let's do a little louder. Good things come to those who... That's right. You're good. There's nothing like waiting in the ER on a Monday night that's so packed that you have to get your vitals done in the reception area. Been there, done that. There's nothing like waiting on the 405 freeway. Anybody heard of that little freeway? Bumper to bumper traffic, and then you only have 3 miles left to go, but there's nowhere to turn. You're just stuck right there. Yeah. Been there? Anybody? We should. I mean, we don't want to, but there's nothing like waiting for someone to show up when you yourself have gotten there 5 to 10 minutes earlier to make sure you're on time, but the other person doesn't have that same concept, right? Waiting. There's nothing like it. And last time I checked, nobody gets enthusiastic about waiting. But waiting happens. And today is our first message of Advent. Advent meaning the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. And what we know that to be in this season is the coming of Jesus Christ, who decided to leave the throne to come down as a child to die for us so that we might have life. This notable event, which is the true meaning of Christmas. But to celebrate this, out of all the things we should do, and with what is coordinating with our passages that are chosen for this time and today, the first thing that we should do is wait. That's what we're supposed to do. Therefore, biblical waiting is important. And just as the prophets of old, some waited hundreds of years to wait for the arrival of that Christmas day, for when Jesus, the Savior, would come into the world. We wait for Christmas as well, but not just as a way to commemorate that, but also for His second coming. We are to wait in a way that is worthy of when He comes back. And as we wait for His return, we can also wait for those personal, we learn how to wait for those personal breakthroughs that we've been waiting for. I mean, how many of us are waiting for something, right? Is it just me and a handful? Let's be honest here. We're waiting for something, okay? And we want to wait. We want to learn how to wait so Jesus can help us in that time to help us with our problems, our pain, those people, and a position in life while we wait for Him. So I know you're waiting for me to get to the first point. So let's not just wait anymore so we can learn how to wait well, okay? So let's get started here. And we're going to be going through several different passages highlighting some of these points here. So the first one we're going to be in Isaiah 64, 1 and 3 through 9. I'm going to read that section for you. It'll be up on the screen or you can look in your Bibles. Isaiah 64, 1 and 3 through 9. Says this, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, Lord, that the mountains would tremble before you." Verse 3, "For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him." Our first point that we see here from this passage is that we are supposed to wait with expectancy. We are supposed to wait with expectancy. Expectancy is a state or thinking that something especially pleasant is going to happen. You're anticipating that something incredible is going to take place in your life. We see this happening quite well naturally in this season with those little people, right? Christmas Day, it depends when your tradition is, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. But when there's that word presents mentioned, if you open up presents in the morning, who's the first one to wake up and ready to open the presents? And you've seen, maybe it happens in your family or not, but the parents are sleeping and lying there and the kids wake in at 5:30 in the morning, jump on mommy and daddy and say, "It's Christmas time." And why? They're full of expectancy. They're ready to open up those gifts. But that expectancy is based on previous knowledge. It's based on Christmases before that they know something good is going to take place. So while they may not know what the gifts are, they know that something good is going to happen. And it's the same thing with what we see in this passage in Isaiah. Isaiah is saying that there are going to be great things that happen for those who wait on him. That we can be held in that expectancy. Because God can and is going to move. Amen? And our waiting for Christ's second return should be rooted in the same expectation as we wait for him. And also, as we wait for him to help within the personal circumstances that we're facing. You know, and the question is that we have to think, what are you waiting for right now? We're all waiting for something, at least we should be. What are you waiting for right now? An answer to a problem? A promotion? Direction? Something. What are you waiting for? And while we wait, we choose to remember what God has done, which leads us to pray in expectation of what he can do. What he has done before allows us to trust him for what's going on ahead of us. Because we have that problem in front of us, but we're looking back to the past for the faithfulness in what God has done to show us that he will help us in this thing that we're waiting for right here. Can we recall those times that God has come through for us? Could be maybe you or a loved one received bad news from the doctor. You're not sure what to expect, but now you've been healed. Well, praise God. That's a faithful milestone right there that you can hang on to God for. Or maybe you've been praying and saying, God, please save this person. I know in my own strength there's no hope, but please, God, I've been praying for years for this person's salvation. And then that person accepted Christ. That would be another one of those faith milestones. Or a strained relationship between yourself and siblings. And it's hard, especially in this time of season. You want to see family come together. And maybe one year there happened to be that reconciliation. Praise God. That's what we want to see. Can we recall those times of faithfulness that God has come through for us? Now, word of caution. There's a difference between expectancy and presumption of expectation, right? Expectancy is what we described before, where you know God's going to do something, but you may not be sure how it's going to be done. This presumption, this expectation, presumptuousness, is like little kids saying, well, where's my PlayStation 1? I've opened up all my gifts. I was expecting something, right? That's different. We hope in the God that he will do something for us, yet we don't know exactly how it should be done. So we have to be careful of that danger that it should be done the way that we want it, right? Because we may not know the how, but we put our trust in the who. Amen? And that's who God is. It's so important also to hear testimonies of other people. Because although we may have had our own faith milestones while we wait, perhaps we need to hear a testimony about the thing that we're still waiting for. So we hear about how God moved in somebody else's life. That gives us the encouragement, the hope, and the faith to keep moving forward and wait and pray in expectation of what God's going to do. And so this new problem in front of us, although we don't necessarily see the outcome, the solution, or the answer, we can choose to wait in expectancy for this problem, this pain, or this person because of God's faithfulness to what he's done for you in the past. We don't wait in uncertainty if we wait on him. We wait on him in faith based on his faithfulness. He will bring you through. That's what we see. That's how we see the first part in waiting, is waiting with expectancy. Our second point is going to be in 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 9. And I'm going to read the second paragraph, actually, here for you. This is Paul's letter to Corinth, and he's in his introduction thanking them for who they are. And he says this, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony among Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, for a church as Corinth, they had a lot of issues. It's part of the reason why Paul writes these letters, but they did one thing right. They were eagerly waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. They were waiting in expectancy, wouldn't you say so? But the part that stuck out to me when I was looking at this verse and reading it is in verse 7, where he says that you did not lack anything, any spiritual gift, any resource, anything while you were waiting, while you were eagerly waiting for him. They have been given everything they need while they wait. Now, this is different from my natural paradigm, from what I usually think. When I'm waiting for something, I feel like the world's ending, right? And I'm focusing on this problem that's in front of me. I am feeling in lack. I don't feel that I have everything in fullness. I feel like that this is taking up my whole world. And think about that situation that you may be waiting on. Sometimes we say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. But is that really true? Or we complain to God about our circumstances and feel hopeless until that thing comes to pass. But is that how we should wait? No, because Paul is instructing the Corinthians here that they have everything they need. Therefore, even for us, we wait in fullness. I'm not talking about Thanksgiving fullness, but in fullness that he's given us everything we need. Because we have to be careful not to magnify that problem. Because when it's in front of us, we can't see the forest before the tree, right? We become overwhelmed and we forget how God can use us even while we're waiting for that thing to come through. And he has. He's given us more than we need. And it says this in Ephesians 2:9, states that God has prepared in advance for us to do good works. So while we're still waiting for that situation to come through, there's many other things we could be doing. We shouldn't get stuck in the mud. No, let's keep moving forward. But waiting in fullness is also realizing that you are gifted, and so is the person next to you. Repeat after me, I am gifted. Good, I'm glad you're affirming yourself. This is good. Because you are. You're all gifted, and God has gifted you in spiritual gifts, talents, abilities, resources to use your time and your energy while you wait. We're not supposed to be passive while we wait. We're not supposed to be idle. We're supposed to be active, realizing that he's given us so much. And to not let that thing overwhelm us and overshadow our thinking for moving forward. And 2 Peter 1:3 says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So although we might not have everything we want right now, while we're waiting, he's given us everything for our benefit, for our character formation, for us to continue moving forward. And Philippians 4:12 says, Paul states this, that he has found the secret of being content in any and every situation. I was thinking, man, I wonder if he like bottled up that formula and he gave it to people. That's a good secret, right? To be content in every situation, that's hard. But he realized with his strength on Christ, as he says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, that he's realized that he can be content, whether a little or much, and to keep moving forward. And furthermore, God has given us gifts in each other in the things that we can offer for one another while we wait. And there's a ministry person that I know who's going through relationship issues. And so him and I have been talking, and it's important that while he's waiting for this problem that's in front of him, and it's tough, we've been talking all the time, while he's waiting for that to get cleared, I feel that God is wanting me to speak to him to remind him that, well, he's in ministry and there's other people that need him. While he's waiting on God for his answer, other people are relying on him as he guides them. And so God is wanting me to speak wisdom into him and to help him through this situation. And we can do that for each other while we wait. We find out how can we help this person while they're still waiting, because we're all gifts to one another, the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. And our third point that we want to go into, which is in Mark, also speaks of waiting in another form. And it's Mark 13, 33 to 37. It says this, Jesus is speaking, saying, "Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned tasks, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." Watch. We do not know when he will come back for this second coming. The Corinthian church, they were eagerly awaiting Jesus Christ, but he hadn't come back yet for them. But they were still being busy in what God had for them, right? They weren't being idle. And so we know, and some of us say, "Well, Lord Jesus, come now," right? And some of our problems that we're facing. But we don't know when he's going to come. But we do know this, though. He is going to come back. And we need to be aware, not just for ourselves, but also for the sake of others. Because this Christmas season, as you wait for his second coming, we also have the opportunity to invite people for his first, right? Especially those that don't know Christ yet. With the Christmas Eve service and Christmas service and the flyer that's handed out, use that opportunity to invite people to know about his first coming. While we wait and pray for those that maybe don't know Christ yet. And we wait for his second, because God has been patient with us. Thank you, Lord. He has been patient with us. Every day is another gift that more people can come into the kingdom. Even 2 Peter 3:9 says this about God, that instead he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone coming to repentance. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Because, and back to the story, if we are not patient, we won't watch at the gate ready for his return. Right? If we're patient and we're alert, then we won't get distracted. We won't turn away from the gate and look and stop looking for his return. But to watch means to be alert, to stay at one's best, and to stay awake. If we are impatient or indifferent, we are like those who are found sleeping. But patience is tough. Patience is very tough. I get frustrated when I'm on my laptop and my Wi-Fi connection isn't working after 10 seconds. I mean, what have we gotten to? And everything's so quick that when something doesn't come as we think it should, it gets difficult. And nowadays, things are quicker, so our patience runs thinner. Many times if we ask that prayer for patience, it seems like this. You know, we pray this prayer, "Lord, I need patience, and I need it now." Right? That seems to be the prayer we pray. But in reality, we have to remember that while we wait with awareness and patience on this point here, waiting helps us become who God wants us to be. Waiting is that process, that character formation of who God wants us to be. It's not easy, and it's God's way of forming in us something, even if we're not sure. But we have to remember, what God is doing in us is as important as that thing that we're waiting for. We cannot neglect the journey for the destination. Otherwise, what's the point in waiting for his second coming if we're not in the process of being conformed to the image of his son? Right? And perhaps God is teaching you something. Maybe he's teaching you to become more loving. Well, that should be for everybody, right? I mean, it's hard. 1 Corinthians 13, what's the first description of that? Love is patient. Ooh, that's tough to hear. Love is patient. And there's a reason it's first in the list, but that's another section there for 1 Corinthians. But teaching us to be more loving. Or trusting God. This one's tough. Trusting God with the outcome, even when it's outside of your control. Not easy. But if we trust Him, that we trust Him even in those things that we're not sure of. Charles Swindoll says, true patience is waiting without worrying. True patience is waiting without worrying. Because worrying focuses on yourself and what you're going to do. But waiting and praying is focusing on what God can do. So are we trusting God in resting in those things of what He can do? So we have to ask that difficult question. And it's tough, but we have to ask this question when we're still waiting. And we say this, God, what are you trying to teach me through this difficult situation, this trying season, this person? What are you trying to teach me through this? And maybe we'll get that answer, right? Because if it's a test, we want to pass it, right? What happens when you don't pass the test? We have to take it again. And there's some things I'm like, I'm so glad I only went through that once. Thank you, Lord. I learned my lesson. Let's go to the next thing. I don't want to go through that again. We want to pass everything with flying colors. Amen? We want this situation that's in front of us behind us. So while we wait on the Lord, we wait for His revelation to what He wants to show us for the things that He's doing in our life. He's doing something in us, church. While we wait, there's a purpose. Let's be open to what He's saying to us. Because all these situations you're waiting for right now is being used to develop your character in Christ while we wait for His return. A test, burden, problem, let's be in expectancy for what God can and will do. And you do not wait in lack because you wait in fullness, because He's equipped you with other things to do and with each other to focus on. So we are a watchman, alert and awake for His return. So we can be patient because He will come through as we wait on the Lord. For as we just talked about, He is well worth the wait. Let's pray. Lord God, we are excited as we learn how to wait on You. In the natural, when we have our own situation, it's not easy to wait. But we know that there's a purpose even beyond what we know, even beyond the circumstances that are in front of us. So while we have that thing or the couple things that we're waiting for, Lord, we ask that You reveal to us what You are trying to teach us. And that may be the hardest question of all, because it's easy to divert the situation that we're waiting for and to make it inward to be about how we should feel and about ourselves. But Lord, let us learn from You what You want for us. Teach us Your ways. Help us be patient, alert, realizing that we don't lack anything while we wait for Your return. And as we honor You in this season of Christmas, and we position ourselves in an attitude of waiting for Christmas Day, thanking You for who You are and what You've done. But continue to teach us how to wait for when You return again. In Your name, amen.